Welcome back once again. Here you are, Drinks with Friends, with your host, Madison Ray.
And that guy, Ryan. What's popping, everybody?
You good, my man?
I'm good. I just heard something threw me off for a second, but I'm back.
Yep. So he back. That's we back.
That's what happens when you do guerrilla podcasting.
Hey, it's part of the fun.
That's right. It's all of the adventure.
Of course, before we get into today's topics, this podcast is brought to you by Android DSM, Power Up,
and Susie Sweet Treats. Secret ingredient is love,
not cocaine. Yeah.
Say the sixth?
Yeah.
Okay.
Still no Kanye album.
Yeah, man, fuck him. I'm over.
is that your final word?
Yeah. I got too much positive shit going on in my life to keep giving energy to this negative ass nigga. Like, I can't.
So he's now done these listening parties. He's still doing his Sunday services. Still no album.
Uh-huh. Still touting Republicans and doing it under the guise of, oh, Lincoln was a Republican. Republicans freed the slaves. Like, no, you're a Republican because you're in a different tax bracket now. And stop trying to
call what it is. You have money. You have money. Try to protect it. I get it. Okay, cool.
Yeah,
I'll disagree, but I'll respect at least. Like,
honesty. I would respect honesty.
Yeah.
Like, but right now you just I'm over being toyed with. Like, I feel like this Kanye is starting to act like that bad ex that, like, every time something's going good, she pops up like, hey, big head, like, no, bitch, leave me alone. Like, you know what? If you ain't talking music, I'm gonna hear it.
Like, yeah. Because it's like, I feel like he needs to sit down with Killer Mike and get his head right. Mm. You know what I mean? Because like, okay, I can appreciate the notion of being a free thinker.
Yeah.
It just feels like he's just chosen.
But you're not
chosen,
free thinking, you're parroting.
Or he's chosen a different master. That's all it is. Yeah. And that's, you know, and that's Killer Mike's whole, like, thing is kill your masters.
Right.
Like, get free for real, for real.
Yeah.
And that's where free thinking then really exists.
Right.
Is when you're able to break away from that shit, as opposed to just playing the other side and calling it free thinking.
Absolutely.
Like, because they're playing you just as much. Like there have been times.
First off, bro, you're doing Sunday services in Utah.
Yeah, it's with that.
You know, Mormons don't have rhythm. Get out of here. If you're not dropping any music, just go away.
Miss me with that.
Away.
Yeah, yeah.
You got like two fresh pairs of 350s coming out, like the colorway and kind of dope. But if it's not those two pairs or this music, then I don't want to hear nothing you're saying. Like, no, I'm not going to let you finish unless you're talking.
Greg, you always crack me up. I can't even.
I feel you. And then I was real mad. Okay, so then.
Oh, there's more.
I was super mad because I was sitting there at work this past week and they play music over the speakers, like, you know, like hits from the 70s to today. Like, it's a very large library that they go through. And there's a song on there that I kept hearing. Like, it plays like once every 3 days. And I'm like, where do I know this song? Where do I know this song? Kanye sampled it. All Your Fault off of Big Sean's Dark Sky Paradise. The song's All Your Fault.
Okay.
And I was like, Big Sean. And then I'm like, I had to go find this song. So I went to the album, I found the song, and I was like, God damn it, this song is so fucking good. I'm still mad at this dude. Like,
I get a feeling that as soon as this album drops,
I'm still gonna be mad.
I'm not saying you're about to give him a full forgiveness pass, but I feel like you'll be gassed up for a little bit longer.
I'm gonna be gassed up quietly this time.
Yeah,
listening to that shit in my car, my headphones, and getting anything else about it.
Well, how was you going? It's all right.
Yeah, it's great. I'm not even gonna do that. I'm like, you should just listen to it for yourself, form your own opinions, like
free thinking.
Yeah, outside of this podcast, we'll still do the inevitable review show.
Yeah.
But then his longtime engineer Mike Dean posted a fucking Snapchat, apparently, because I don't follow him, but popped up in the news. We posted him smoking a J, like, just accidentally deleted Jesus is King. Like, fuck y'all. What's the caption? Just accidentally deleted Jesus is King. Fuck y'all. Smoking a joint, and I'm like,
oh yeah, are we getting trolled?
Yeah, like, this is just gonna be like Yandy was supposed to be, like, or it's gonna drop it on Black Friday this year, and then be like,
okay,
yeah. So yeah, I'm over fucking.
Okay. So I feel like that's tabled for the time being.
Yeah.
How's Inktober treating you,
bruh? I mean, you see it.
Yeah.
It's going well. It's going well. I don't know something's wrong with me.
Oh yeah,
yeah. In the sense that I specifically in coming up with my ideas for the sketches for the month, and like planning ahead what I was going to do for the month, I'm like, I'm starting off real simple, and then like kind of build to a crescendo, and then back off for like the last week.
Yeah,
and that is not seem to be how it's going. Like I can't not go super hard. Like
sure, sure. Like,
so like it just, and I'm like, I'm detail oriented, and it comes through because there's all these little things that I have to do. Like I can't not do them because the shit feels incomplete to me. So like through watching the streams, like I kept all of them to about an hour.
Okay.
So I've definitely gotten faster than I used to be. Like you know, back and watching past ones. But I probably could be done in like 35 minutes, but then I'm like, nah, it needs a little bit more. Nah,
she ain't ready. She ain't ready. Like, yeah, sometimes you gotta make it a little longer.
Yeah. Every day. Every single day. I did a fucking Lego person last night.
Yeah, you did.
Super simple. But
it's Legos.
Some reason, I was like, oh, you know what? Let me add some contouring and this yellow. Let me give the illusion that it's actually like the rounded piece and stuff. Like, let me do this, that, and other. Like, damn it, Ryan. But,
Bruh,
nah, man. Yeah.
That respect, that was fun.
Appreciate it. I got a couple of them that I think turned out really well so far. What I did for Bait, the anglerfish.
Yeah, that was really that was great.
And that did not go as I planned it to. Like, it did not.
Yeah, explain that. I saw your post about how, like, it didn't go quite the way you wanted.
Basically going to use different tools, and I wasn't getting the effect that I wanted.
Oh.
And so I was like, all right, well, on the fly, let me change up the tools that I'm using for this. And it was two different mediums that I was using, so I had to, like, find a way to marry them in the part that I'd already done while then moving towards the new one.
Yeah.
As far as, like, the blending and everything like that goes. So yeah, it did not at all go how I had it envisioned from jump.
Yeah,
but I turned it around. Ended up being one of my favorites. And then Mr. Freeze, I think that one turned out really well because like it kind of looks like it gives the illusion it's like in a snow globe, like in a bust, and kind of like did like the black dome over him, and like the snow through it with just the touch of red for the goggles.
Yeah, of course, like, little pop.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, this one.
Actually, it's funny when I saw that prompt, I was like, this nigga's gonna draw Mr. Freeze.
Yeah.
And I looked and I was like, got him.
And then the next day was built and I was like, ooh, I should do Lego Batman. I'm like, no, because I just did Mr. Freeze.
Right.
So tonight.
But also, way to represent, like, you know, for like female characters and not being so focused on, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, because right, like, you could have easily done Lego Batman.
That's true.
And if you didn't do Lego Batman, you could have done, I don't know, Emmett. Yeah, which is the main character from Lego movies, if you don't know. Right. If you don't know, educate yourself, because those movies are hilarious. It's true.
But whilst I was there, like, she's dope. Like, and she didn't get the, like, everybody was gassing up all these dude, like, master builders.
Right.
While she was the one who was actually out here putting in the work and saving the day. I'm like, I could just disrespect Lucy like that and make her this damsel in distress when she's actually the one out here putting in the legwork.
Right.
Like, she was the black mother of the Lego movies, and I felt like she needed some shine, so she got some shine.
Facts.
So, Facebook, they always do the on this day, right? And so I've been getting all my old Inktober stuff that's been popping up daily.
Yes.
And last year on this day was the day I did one of my favorite pieces I've ever done, which was my Drooling Master Roshi.
Oh, yes.
And so I'm like, man, like, I kind of want to do another Dragon Ball piece for tonight. Like, the
in reference.
And I kind of want to throw some light to my man Yajirobe.
I was gonna say, you gonna get to Yajirobe on this one?
But I've already done the sketch for tonight, and I'm like, I'm gonna have to figure out how to throw him in later in the month, because now I really want to do a Yajirobe piece.
Yeah.
So that will be happening at some point.
Let me ask, are there any other artists that you're following for Inktober? Mm-hmm. Anyone that you just, like, you just can't resist seeing their work?
There's a local artist that I met going around, local to Des Moines.
Yeah.
Her art name is Atomic Kawaii. Mm-hmm. She does, like, really cute, like, chibi anime stuff.
Yeah.
She's doing, like, a Spooktober one, so, you know, supporting the local art on that, too. Marcus Williams, Marcus the Visual, he's a black artist who's in, like, the Tuskegee Airs, where he does, like, his own, basically, like, stories for people of color.
Yeah.
And he does a lot of fan fiction art to where he'll take existing properties and put like a black spin on them. Like, he did one for the Avatar series, like the Last Airbender, where it's like the earthbending avatar from Africa. Like, super dope shit. And he's also doing Swaptober instead of Inktober.
Yeah.
Swapvender, where he does gender bent versions of popular characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I shared one of his on the first day where he did the gingerbread Boondocks character.
Yes,
I know. Riley and Granddad. He switched those up. He did another one with Stink Meaner, Uncle Ruckus, and Bashida Brown, I think, where he swapped them too. And like, he did one just today where he did a ginger swap for Dowson from Street Fighter.
Oh,
super dope.
I have to check that out. Yes. I definitely have to check that out.
So I'm thinking, like, I might do one. I might throw one of those in. Or I might just keep the thing going, maybe cut it back to, like, a weekly bi-weekly stream and do it for Swapember. Maybe do, like, two of those a week.
Yeah.
Because I'm feeling pretty good with the props list. Like, and I like following.
Man, so, you know, y'all get me all gassed and wanting to pick up a pen again.
Do it, bro. Like, I mean, it's a good way to, even if you just do it, like, if you're watching me and you pick up a pen and, like, sketch something out while you're watching.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, use it at that time, especially you. You're a busy dude. You got a lot on your mind. Use it at that time to decompress.
It's like, true.
It feels
it's
good true. To push it down on paper.
You know, you're right. Bro, I saw all these sketchbooks.
Bruh.
From back in the art days.
Yeah.
Empty pages, just chilling.
Me too. And I'm so sad because I only got like, the sketchbook I'm working in now is like one of my favorite sketchbooks. I only got like 5 or so empty pages left in it. And I'm like, ugh. And I don't remember where I got it. And there's no identifying marks. Like, there's no barcode. There's no name. There's no nothing for me to go. And, like,
Which is why it's the perfect sketchbook.
Right? Like, it's so perfect. And I can't, like, paper doesn't bleed through. Like, I was putting, like, even when I was using, like, my water-based pigments and stuff like that, like, I'll get some bubbles, like, on the bait pick. But I had a piece of paper behind it, and, like, nothing bleeds through. Like, it's a perfect weight, the perfect grit, and I cannot figure out for the life of me where I got it. It's driving me nuts. Like, it's driving me nuts.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
I literally have, like, 40 sketchbooks. I'll make it
work. I mean, that's just impressive. The thing is, I don't know. There's a part of me.
It's a fire hazard. Like, if my house ever catches fire, we're fucking done. So,
well, there's a part of me that, like, I don't know, as a visual artist or former visual artist, that, like, I want to explore the things that I used to draw now with, like, more confidence and creativity, because, like, obviously, you know, working in these spaces that I've been working in, you know, it unlocks more confidence. It unlocks more confidence in, like, vision and, like, taking risks and, like, actually being able to put a spin on something and go, oh, this is how I want to do it.
Absolutely.
This is a part of me that just wants to go revisit, like, the stuff I used to draw and you know, really, like, be able to put that down and see if I still kind of got it or if my art has even, you know, or the ability to have that vision has grown.
Yeah.
Because, you know what I mean? Like, because one thing to be able to, like, look at a thing and go, oh, I can replicate that.
Right.
Or I can just begin that style.
Yeah.
But it's another thing to, like,
take, how we started,
to take that information and go, okay, how do I flip this and how do I want to express that, you know?
Which I can say I'm to that point now, like, because even last night for, like, the Lego one, I was like, man, it's a Lego person. You know what it's supposed to look like.
Yep.
So I did a Google search for the character. And then just use, like, those different references to make sure I was hitting all the different things and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, that's something that definitely happens. It's something that practice is going to come a long way. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I can tell you from experience that your first few, when you're doing it, are not going to come out the way you want them to.
Right, of course.
But that's what it's all about. Practice makes proficient.
So, yeah.
You know, you just keep pushing and do what you got to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, yeah. Pick up a pen, draw a roll, get down.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
there's a lady at work. She added me so she could watch along, and she's been, like, doing pen sketches on her desk, like, oh, look, I'm doing Inktober too. Like,
yeah.
You know, like,
and like, I think that's, like, the coolest thing is, like, really people getting inspired and being creative.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've just tried to be better about this lately. Just, like, how do we encourage people to get out of the kind of capitalist mindset of, like, you don't have to be good to participate.
Right. You don't have to always look for something to monetize.
Right, exactly.
I mean, you can pay me, but
right,
you don't
right,
have to.
Right. Like, you've gotten to a place where you can make that ask. But that's not a requirement to be creative.
Right.
You don't have to be X amount of good or expect that you can turn it into
alternative
a business.
Stream,
yeah. That, like, no, just, like, make something. Like,
because it participates. You enjoy it.
Exactly. And, you know, how do you encourage, and then again, this is not me, like, ragging on those who have put the work in to have mastery of their craft. It's just the space of, like, don't be afraid to jump in because you don't have mastery.
Right.
Yeah.
So I feel like I can look at myself as a good example. Because when I got back into it, it was purely therapeutic. You know what I'm saying? Like when I got back into drawing, it was because I needed something to do to release that creative strength. Like,
yeah. There was some tension.
Right. And I did. Like I would, and I've always drawn, you know that.
Yeah.
Like the start where I would get mad and rather than like blowing up and stuff, like I would draw passive aggressive self portraits of me like
I remember that.
Yeah, like cussing out the person that made me mad or like set some shit on fire. Like it legit was like pure therapy.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, oh yeah, I really enjoy doing this. Let me start doing it more. And then, like, of course social media was like, oh, let me show my shit. And then started following other artists who started teaching me things, which I was able to implement, like, you know, but that led to practice. Like, everybody has things that they're good at, and like, I absolutely have some base talent, but I've also worked my ass off to get where I am now, and hope to continue doing so.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, it's cool to be able to share that journey and to be at a point now where I can monetize it, but it all started off as just doing something for me specifically. Do stuff for everybody else every day. Like, take some time to do some shit for you.
Drop the handles so people can follow.
Of course, yeah. Follow me on Facebook. It's my actual name, The Government, Ryan-Christopher, respect the hyphen, W. Morrison. Or you can also follow my Facebook art page, That Guy Rye Draws. Twitter, @ThatGuy_Rye. And Instagram, @ThatGuy_Rye_IG. Check me out.
Yeah. What time do you tend to post around the same
time? 9 p.m. For school nights, it's 9 p.m. Weeknights, I've been doing around 9:30, 9:45. Yeah. Just so I can have some time with the kids in bed, talk to Sam, like, you know, do that noise.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm trying to stick for 9 p.m. for the whole month.
So. Yeah, y'all. Tune in. Check it out. Obviously, it's all on the socials. Yeah. So, like, you can go check out the old ones if you, you know.
Yeah, check like, the progression. I did that today. I went through my Instagram from the Inktober's for like the last 4 years.
Show a little support. You're also doing a thing where you're doing a blind...
Yeah, blind commissions.
All
the pieces are for sale. If you have an idea
of
a day that you think you might like what I come up with, then just let me know. Send me the cash. I got a couple that I spoke before now. I got a couple that are done that have been sold.
Nice. Out. Which one's...
Swing is spoken for... That one's kind of special. I let the person kind of get the commission because it's for a gift.
Yeah.
I also wanted to pay extra, so that
It came with a premium.
Right. And then Dragon is spoken for.
Okay.
And I think the person, I'm not drawing what they think I'm drawing, so it'll be pretty interesting. Well, I mean, who knows? Like, but this person, clearly they trust me to come through. But
That's the fun of blind commissions is trust.
Yeah.
And creativity and the surprise of not knowing what's going to be there on the other side.
We'll see. Yeah. My son, I am drawing one Ash Ketchum.
Yeah.
Because the word of the day is Ash. And my son was like, so you're going to do it. Dad, you're going to do it. Dad. You're like, fuck, Riley, yes, okay.
Right.
You got to do it.
First off. Chill. Like, second, yes, I will.
Like, yeah, I got you. I thought it was on dope for Ash Ketchum.
Ooh. Feel that. So, Boyz II Men was in town.
Yeah, you got to represent for the show.
You know it.
How'd that go?
You know it.
It was an interesting experience.
Yeah. Let me back it up a little bit. Because I don't give them the props that they deserve in terms of like helping me with my musical literacy.
Okay.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
One of the first albums I remember having as a child was Coolie High Harmony.
Yeah. Classic.
Classic. It was a great album.
In my opinion, their best album.
Oh, yes. Easily. Yeah. Easily.
I mean, a lot of people think Two was their best album. But
commercially, probably, yes. But, like, creatively. Musically,
yeah.
Yeah, because they had that new Jack Swing thing going on. You know, they had Michael Bivins, like on their A&R. So they're, you know, like, so. And, yes, Motown Philly is identical to Poison in its musical structure.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I don't care.
Me either. That song was dope.
They're both amazing. There's room on my playlist for both of them.
Absolutely.
But that all being said, like, Man, listen, like, and then the first CD I remember owning of my own was Two. So, like, as a young person, like, Boyz II Men was a pillar for me that I had chosen and I had accepted, as opposed to, like, what my mom would have thrown my way or what have you. Like, Boyz II Men was, like, my choice. Boyz II Men and MC Hammer. That's a whole other conversation. But
I can dig that, because I remember my mom had bought the Kool-Aid Hammer CD and stole it from me.
Like, yeah.
When I got my first boombox in my room.
Like, yeah. I was like, yeah, I need that. That's necessary.
Her music, like, no, you keep your Earth, Wind & Fire. Now you keep your Frankie Beverly. Now you keep, no.
Yeah. But, like, I can tell you, like, I can sing every lick on the deep cuts. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I like, lived and breathed by the boys, those Boyz II Men records when I was just a wee lad. So that being said, like, I was low-key, like, super hyped to, like, be able to not only attend the show, but also, like, as a member of the press,
right.
Like... unfortunately, did not get to interview or do a meet and greet or any of that kind of stuff. That's fine. Next time, I guess. But to be able to sit and check out the show at the Des Moines Civic Center, it was great. Let's just kind of go through beat by beat.
Tell me, break it down for me.
Because, like, you were there in my heart.
Yeah.
But let me explain to you what I saw.
Please.
What I saw at anime. So, like, literally, like, a dozen white people showed up, like, dressed in the Kuliha Harmony, like, the white cardigans, the bow tie, the red Phillies caps. Like, they came in cosplaying as Boyz II Men.
Huh.
And, of course, they sat in the front row.
Right.
Of course they did.
They lost their virginity to Boyz II Men.
Right? Like, I was like, legit, like... Wait, what? Even Boyz II Men were like, wait, what? Like, in the show, like, he's like, I think it was Nate. He looked at them and was like, this is really weirding me out right now. Like, we appreciate the love. This is kind of weird.
Can somebody get them a jacket?
Because the band was also dressed up, you know, like, in the Kool-Aid Harmony
nice.
Look, too, which is like,
y'all supposed to be back here.
Right, like, what? But that's what's cool. And part of it was like, it was a little like, jarring at first, but like it was also there is something cool about, you know, being able to see that kind of deep appreciation for what somebody does when you're like, I want to dress like them, because no one thinks about how do I dress like Boyz II Men,
right?
And in a way that's not incredibly offensive, that will come back to bite your political career in 10 years.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? But
this is Iowa, you might get a holiday.
It's true. If you do blackface in Iowa, you'll probably get a holiday. Take that to the bank.
Right. At least a straight name after you.
Name what?
Blackface.
Just done. MLK. Done. Yeah. Done. I'm gonna go lay down. I'm done.
Sorry, then. No, that's the shame.
Right. And that's a wrap. No, but it was cool to be in that room and just like to kind of feel that love and feel that energy. Like, so many Boyz II Men fans. They're now a trio, not a quartet.
Right.
They had a live band backing them up, which was a nice touch. They came out to Motown Philly. They came out swinging for defenses, and like as soon as they came out, you know, that roar, bruh, like, and just also that thing where it's like when everyone's singing along, like you feel like 90% of the people in that room are just word for word, like. That's the shit that feels really good.
Right.
That's the stuff that's really, really amazing.
Yeah.
Not just the, I'm here to check it out. Not just the, like, oh, I kind of, or like, I know a couple of their songs.
Yeah.
But, like, the
fans,
whole concert.
Like,
true, fans. True fans. Yeah. That many true fans. Especially, I think, in Des Moines, Iowa, is kind of unexpected. Because they've been in this for now for 28 years.
Right.
They ain't spring chickens. And right. I have to confess, there was a little doubt in my heart. Like, do they still got it?
Mm.
Not because... of a lack of talent or work ethic, but just physical limitations.
Right.
An aging body.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, you know, like the Temptations are still out here doing it, but like it ain't like it's 19, you know,
true.
65.
It's a little bit lower.
Right.
Lower register.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Let's change that key.
Right.
Get this bread. And so there's that part of me that was like, I'm wondering if like they're really gonna show up and show out.
Yeah.
Or are they just gonna like kinda hit you with the like cash in solely on the nostalgia. Because in my own experience, doing opening act work. Like, I've seen some people that I really, like, respected.
Yeah.
And then they come out and they lip sync a whole set because they just want... They're cashing in on being seen.
Right.
Not the performance.
Yeah.
It's just that I'm here.
Yeah. The Mariah Carey.
Yeah. Team. And here's a half an hour of songs that you love. And thank you, good night, and we love you. Right. And it's like, that's cool. I get it. But there's that question of, like, you don't know what you're going to get when you're seeing an older act.
Right.
And so I was a little nervous. And they came out full energy. They came out like they were 25. You know what I mean? Yeah. Dancing, doing the steps, the whole, you know, like really like going for it. Let me also say, Wanye is still like a beast.
Yeah.
Like, I would be hard pressed to find someone on this planet. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he's one of the best vocalists, like, period. His control, his range, his power, his personality comes through. Like, he was doing stuff where I was just like, man.
Now see, I always found his younger stuff to be a bit whiny when he went overboard, so I imagine now that he would have more control, he would actually be better.
Right. Because it's interesting, like, watching his mannerisms, because he manipulates, when he's really going in, he manipulates his hand like he's playing a trumpet.
Mm.
So he's, like, hitting the valves and, like, knowing when to, like, press the gas and when to back off and when to, like, move it around. Yeah.
The voice is an instrument.
So, yeah. And so, like, I will say, yeah, maybe as a more mature musician, like I said, just that range and that power and that control, like, there are people that I guarantee, like, wish that they could do half the things that that man did, you know, in the heat of a, you know, in the heat of a song.
Right.
You know? Yes, they did sing live. There was a leg of the show that actually legitimately had me surprised.
Oh?
They brought instruments.
Oh.
Like, they played instruments, bro. Mm. Like a band.
Yeah.
Like, they had the band. And they pulled their own shit out.
That's wild.
Yo, for real,
for real.
Because
you never think of Boyz II Men as instrumentalists.
No. Right.
What'd they play?
Wanye stayed on vocals. Sean brought out an electric guitar. And Nate played bass.
That's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, legit. I was like, wait, what are you doing right now? What are you doing? Because, like, I saw, like, some stagehands come through and they're bringing out, like, pedals.
Did they play well? Amp.
Yeah. Like, Sean put out, like, a shredding ass, like, guitar solo.
Huh.
And I was like,
I mean, you know, he's chilling with Beck. He was on that one.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Like, I was like, what is going on? Like, I personally loved seeing that range.
Yeah.
To say, like, oh, here's this other thing that we can do.
Right.
And in a way that didn't feel, like, necessarily too gimmicky.
Yeah.
But, like, they did a solid 20 minutes, like, with the instruments.
No.
It was all covers, though.
Mm.
They started with Bob Marley jamming.
Okay.
I want the jammy, right. You. It was, which was cool because it was, like, laid back, and I was like, okay. And then they hit you with, like, some Beatles and some Lenny Kravitz. They also did some Bruno Mars.
Hmm. What song?
Locked Out of Heaven.
Okay.
Yeah. Again, also proving, yo, it's funny when a better singer takes your song. I'm just gonna say it like that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Bruh, like it was one of those weird things. It's like, I enjoy Bruno records, but I don't think he's a very strong vocalist live. Like, he doesn't have, like, the range. Like, there's a lot of studio tricks that, like, make his songs work that he can't replicate live.
Okay.
You can see it. Like, watch any of his live tapes, any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
his live performances are better when he does his balance versus his...
Yeah. Well, I mean, his veins are also, like, throbbing out of his neck and face.
It's because he sings too high for his...
Right. Because he actually doesn't have that range.
Yeah,
so he's pushing everything up. Which then also gives you inconsistency, those weird vocal breaks, not to overly dissect Bruno Mars, but, like, when you see someone actually who naturally has the range, and they do it effortlessly, and you're like, that's how that goes.
Sound.
Yeah. And I was like, killing it. But I was a little, but the fan of me was a little disappointed on the covers, man. I didn't come to... listen to that.
Hey, y'all got 25 years worth of music that y'all can go over. Like, why?
Yeah. Why? Nah, hit me with hit me with Simpin', bruh. Like, nah. Shit. Right? Yeah, I feel you. Hit me with that countdown.
Yeah. Well, they can't anymore because they're only three.
Whatever. That's not the point.
It is the point. Replace old boy. Okay? Replace old boy or squash the beef and get it back. Like,
right. Whatever you got going on,
fix it. Yeah.
Now here's
how much money they would make if they did a true, like, full on reunion tour.
The bag would be robust.
Yeah.
Yeah. Facts. The other piece of it though, you know, here's where the left turn of doing all these covers got a little, like, weird to me, but it was like playing like the Iowa crowd.
Yeah.
They definitely did Amazed by Lone Star, and they definitely did Open Arms by Journey.
Mm.
Lone Star and Journey.
Well,
it was weird, bro. Like, that was like, at that point, I was like, I can sit down.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and just have.
Cultural appropriation is cultural appropriation, no matter who's perpetrating it.
Like, I didn't say that.
I'm saying it.
It was weird. It was weird. The crowd loved it. I took a break. the thing is, I like to people watch, so I'm like scanning the audience.
Oh.
And at least within my realm of vision, literally all of the black people that I could see all sat down.
I say for us, Sean. Say for us.
Right. Basically, like, oh.
What Beatles song did you
do? Come Together. Well, you don't like that song?
I personally think the Beatles are the most overrated band in history.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, no.
Like, but it's like a neck and neck tie for who's more overrated, Elvis or the Beatles.
But that song goes.
They have a few bangers.
Yeah, like, I perform Come Together. Mm-hmm. I'm real mad that everyone keeps doing it, because, like, I want to do it.
Mm. I mean, Michael Jackson already did it better than everybody.
Yeah, well, I don't know, that Gary Clark Jr. version that they did for the Justice League movie, that shit goes, bro.
I forgot,
like,
about that.
It's heavy.
That's fair.
It's heavy. I forgot about
that.
Yeah.
That's like, in the Black Bat movie.
Right, well, so. Exactly. But then you get that such an amazing cover.
You're right.
And the thing is, the only reason I remember that, because I literally just heard it, like, in the last, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, I don't remember it going like this, but okay. Okay.
Yeah. All right, I'll give you that.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
But yeah, fuck the Beatles.
No, yeah, that's fine.
So quick story about
the Beatles. Please.
I'm sitting at the dinner table and Bria singing a Beatles song, and I'm like, did you learn that? Hey, for me. I'm like, and your mom don't really listen to the Beatles like that too. And she was like, I was like, are you singing the Beatles? She goes, no, it's the Beat Bugs. Like, damn it, Netflix. Like, what y'all have done. Like, because they have this whole cartoon that's based strictly on Beatles music.
Got it.
They also have one.
That's clever.
They also have one for Motown, though, so I ain't too mad, because they also will randomly break out into Motown songs and, like, deep cut Motown songs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, alright, that one could slide. But yeah, it shocked the hell out of me.
It's actually really clever, though.
Yeah, like, Bria was singing, like, Hey Jude at the dinner table
for the kids, or a whole new generation. Yeah.
And I was like, everybody's like, what, you don't like the Beatles? I'm like, I like one song by the Beatles. And he's like, which one? Like, Eleanor Rigby. That's the only one that matters. Like, the rest of that shit is mediocre.
Yeah, that song also goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he's like, well, what song is that? And I'm like, that's from the episode. Oh, yeah, we've seen that. I really like that song. I'm like, yeah, fuck your shit. Go watch Motown Magic if you're going to watch me. So, yeah, okay, but back to what you're saying.
No. That's really funny. That's really, really funny. And of course, they did all of the big ballads.
Yeah.
I'll Make Love to You. Mm-hmm. Ugh. Yeah. The women went crazy.
Drop it.
Basically, they did It's So Hard to Say Goodbye to Yesterday.
Classic song.
Now, here's the thing, though, that I will say, like, that I was like, because they're starting to sound like old men. When they were like,
they are.
Well, but I mean, like, when they got on this whole shtick about real music.
Wow.
That, exactly. Like, because there's a part of me that's like, you can, like, do your thing and still respect what's new and what's up and coming.
You know, I agree with that for the most part.
Yeah.
I think it was Chuck D who tweeted something. He shared, like, a tweet or something like this, where I kind of get it. Like, maybe that's just me getting old, but I kind of get it in directly pertaining to what I'm about to tell you.
Go ahead.
For us, when we were coming up, like, when you heard something that was really, really dope, you used to be like, oh man, I wish I could do that, and then you would go and work towards being able to do it.
Yeah.
Whereas with a lot of modern music across genres,
yeah,
like a lot of modern music, it's no longer, oh, I wish I could do this. It's like, oh, I could do that. And then they really can. Like,
yeah.
They really could just go and strum three chords or do the same repetitive hook and do this, that, and the other. It's like, I really can do that.
So, on one hand, it's like the argument is like the lowering of the bar.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's a part of me that also feels the need to push back to say that the newer generation's access to be able to learn things is also at a higher level. Because I've seen more talented children than I ever could have even imagined seeing when we were actually that age.
Right.
Like, some of these kids, like, play and sing and perform so well. I'm like, how?
Yeah.
Who, like...
YouTube kids.
Right. And that's exactly what it is. It's that there are enough platforms and spaces to learn those things, mm-hmm. that they're putting the work in.
Yeah.
And the ones who've got it are like light years ahead, mm-hmm. you know. And I think it's more, I think I'm more surprised by the volume. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Because it's like the only one time you get the anomaly and you go, oh, that's like a Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some little kid who can really just go.
Right.
And then, but it's like now they're like hundreds and thousands of these kids and they all like, sing, they've got control, they've got presence, they're expressive, and I'm like, how are all these children crushing it?
But so it'd be really interesting to see them as they grow and they're no longer just emulating what they've seen, but they have to be put to the test of actually creating something.
Right, which is a whole other lane.
Yeah.
Which you're right on the money in that regard. But there's also that thing that, like, to use Chuck D as an example, or even Boyz II Men, that there were people, there were the old heads then where they're like, they ain't the Temptations though.
Yeah.
Or this is too hip hop. This is too hip hop.
Like, it's not real music. All you're doing is taking somebody else's hook and rhyming over it. Like,
yeah.
And then grew into the global phenomenon that it is.
So, right.
I mean, there's going to be haters of every generation.
Right. Exactly. Because they did the same thing to Elvis and the Beatles.
Yeah.
That was like, you know,
the Motown people were saying the same thing about the new Jack Swing generation.
Exactly.
So it's really funny.
Exactly. Like, that like, you've just become that.
Yeah.
These kids, and we're here for real music. We love real music. And it's like,
you're turning into your pop, bro.
Old niggas sit down.
But they're not going to.
Right.
Until they have to.
Right. And so, yeah, there's just that little thing where it's on a personal note, it's just like a little frustration. Like, really? We doing that?
Course.
And of course, then all the old people are like, yeah, real music.
Yeah, it's honestly the same thing that goes on in politics.
Yeah.
Where it's like, these kids today worried about the global warming, the earth's going to be fine, da 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 da. Like, no, y'all just worry about something different. Like,
yeah, exactly. That all being said, they also did One Sweet Day,
okay.
Which is arguably their greatest hit. Or one of, like,
top five, yeah. For sure.
Top. Three.
Yeah.
Anyway, which, as our listeners may remember, duet with Mariah Carey, really, really big deal. Of course, Mariah Carey was not here in Des Moines.
Right.
So they asked the women in the audience to sing Mariah's part collectively.
Yeah.
Pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
Because the people that know that song probably listened to it on repeat on cassette. You know what I mean?
And rewind.
And learn all of those licks.
Right.
And all of those parts. But also what was interesting, specifically Wanye was the one that was like conducting.
Mm.
So like he was like helping to coach the ladies in the audience.
This
is the part where you come in. Here's where that big run is. Here we go. And obviously listeners can't see, I just did the finger wave.
Right.
The I'm gonna do something fancy. Finger wave. Finger wave.
Vibrato time.
Right. Oh, wait till I show you this finger wave, though. Now you know I'm really singing. But yeah, no, the ladies in the audience held it down. I was like, actually, I was like, this is about to be a train wreck. And I was like, you know what? Actually,
it does sound great.
It's actually pretty good. Pretty good. Okay.
Go ahead. R&B dreams.
Right. Like, and I think also part of it is because of when you're playing for really committed fans, they know, like I said, they know every inch of the song.
Right.
So like when they got into it, like,
and you don't have
they were
20 plus year career without having those dedicated fans,
right? So. And being 100% in,
yeah.
you know, it was really great. They closed with "Into the Road."
Okay, makes sense. Yeah,
which was actually their biggest hit.
Yeah,
I think actually "Into the Road" was their biggest thing, and then it got supplanted by "One Sweet Day" because of Mariah Carey. Okay. Like you take two of the biggest acts and put them together, surprise, surprise.
Yeah,
or she gets replaced. Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. I think it actually had like the record of like one of the longest running singles or number ones or whatever. Anyway. Google it. I don't know. "End of the Road," you know, big finale. It was great. It was really just a great show. Like usually I'm not the one that gets overly like gassed or excited about stuff because it's like, I don't know if it's not in my spirit. I see them as like really talented human beings and I love the work they've done. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I'm not gonna lose my mind. Like, I'm not gonna be over here crying or nothing. But like, genuinely, like, the room was great. It was hype. Like, the songs were great. The band was great. But it's also really nice to see an organization like the Des Moines Performing Arts make those commitments to stuff that, you know, like I think because of, like, Iowa's demographics and, you know, the expectation is, like, you probably wouldn't see stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or the notion of, like, oh yeah, we wouldn't really book something like that, but some little shiesty ass promoter might, you know, like this whole Nelly deal,
right?
You know, like
multi-platinum song artist all of a sudden performing at the Ballet, like why? Like,
yeah, that doesn't.
No one, these motherfuckers bought the album just like everybody else,
right? Right, right, right. You know, to actually, you know, have those, to have our icons, to be able to sit in those rooms, and be taken seriously. To be, you know, granted.
Dang, she looked like Rachel Maddow.
Bro, a little bit. What?
Okay. Anyway.
For real.
Yeah. But yeah. So on that end, it's like it's really nice to see more diverse and inclusive programming
for sure.
To see older Black folks come out, dressed up, looking good, doing the thing, you know what I mean? I saw a bunch of people that I knew, you know, there's that whole thing of kind of also kind of get those knowing looks like, hey, Boyz II Men fan.
Right. Good to see you.
Now I know. All right. That just kind of, I think the deeper narrative is like bringing things like that here is indicative of our growth, but also part of how we keep growing. Is, you know, the more stuff that happens like that in spaces like that, it actually makes me really kind of confident for what can happen in the future. Sure. You know, what next season's concert series might look like. Because we had, last year, Leslie Odom Jr. From Hamilton came and did a similar kind of show with the symphony orchestra. That would have been dope. Boyz II Men with the symphony orchestra. Friends at DMPA, please set that up.
Yep.
Give the man his check for what they had to do.
Please and thank you. I'll take my 10%. That's all I ask. But, you know, it was really great to be able to just, you know, be a part of that and see that these men got it. Still got it. Men to old men. Also shout out to Kathy Long for reaching out to us and letting Drinks with Friends be a part of the evening.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know, we'll get to do more of these kinds of things with Des Moines Performing Arts and seeing some of their really great concerts. Like I know their new Broadway season is about to kick off. Mean Girls is coming into town this month. Jesus Christ Superstar is coming through. Yeah. I mean, again, like
solid shows.
Yeah, whoever's putting this together, crushing it.
Crushed it.
As a fan, I am just, bruh. Yes, go listen to that chicken sandwich mixtape. You haven't done it yet.
Still hot and fresh.
Still hot and fresh. Never sold out. Yo, and it should hit extra crisp. That's all I'm saying.
That's right.
That's all I'm saying.
Spicy deluxe edition.
What's interesting is Popeyes has definitely like just changed the subject.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got those chicken sandwiches? No, but we have wings, like boneless wings, right? Like that's like the new product they're pushing. It's like no one cares. We want the sandwich, but what about our boneless wings?
Nobody wants those nuggets,
right? Oh, you doing? Oh yeah. Oh, you doing chicken nuggets? thanks.
Grown up nuggets like that. All that, all boneless wings are is chicken nuggets for picky adults. Like that's all that
yeah.
is.
Yeah, yeah.
I ain't got time for it.
Right, like if you ain't doing bone-in wings, like what is your life about?
Yeah.
I'm just gonna, yeah. What? Why? Ew. No.
I fucking sex on. I can't. I don't know why I made that correlation, but it really seemed to fit, so I stand by it.
Oh my god, I love it though. I love
the
it.
The asymmetry in that display walls really bother.
Let it go, man. Let it go. Just let it go.
I don't like
just let it go.
I don't like it.
I'm sorry. Just let it go.
Like it.
You can. You can. You can. You can feel whatever kind of way, but like you not liking it, it's not going to change anything. Mm. For now.
Challenge. Like, I need to go start rearranging.
Like right. I've always thought it'd be just like fun to just go into a place and just start like moving your shit around. Like that shelf shouldn't go there. Sir, what? Sir, what are you doing?
I do that to him.
Helping you.
Once in a while.
Like helping
her,
you.
Like her figurines, like I'll just go in and like switch.
Again, I'll just take my 10% and I'll go my merry way. Thank you.
Just trying to fix your phone. Fix the flow of the room.
So, is there anything big coming up?
XBK got High Volume 1.
High Volume 1, next week.
Yeah, that's next week.
It's going to be exciting. For those that you don't know, this is like a hip hop R&B just vibe.
Yeah.
I won't say it's a party. There are performances. Mm-hmm. There are three dance crews coming to represent.
Nice.
Rebel City, DMI Breakers, and Killing Floors.
Yeah.
Like homie Entree Luce is doing a showcase too.
Uh-huh.
DJ Viv on the ones and twos, like it's got a nice little stacked evening of just fun and entertainment, like for the culture.
Yeah,
like I think it's gonna be dope as hell.
That's what's up. Yeah, so looking forward to that. Friend of the show, Daniel P. Picasso, he told me that his debut EP should be dropping here within these next 2 weeks. From the previews I've heard, it will be dope. He wants to come listen to it with us.
Oh,
have us go over it.
So
once that happens, we'll have to do that.
We should do like a dissection track by track.
Yeah. Break it down. Do that.
The breakdown.
Of course, I got 25 more days of Inktober.
That's so exciting.
And we're just getting into it, so you know, come through, check us out.
Oh, the cat is out of the bag. Your boy is back in Rocky Horror. Yeah.
Reprising his role of Eddie.
Yeah.
Popularized by the one and only Meatloaf.
Yeah.
So yeah, it'd be cool to see you all froze.
Hey, frozen zombie, sing a song, sing get killed.
Right. Then dip.
Best paycheck, bro.
yeah, that's coming up. And then, I mean, it's two burly men. I think we can admit that it's time to start getting excited about these holiday times.
Oh, man, the fall flex.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I get Halloween school because I can rob my kids for the candy. but then we got the best of the big family holidays, which is Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Christmas is dope, but
Thanksgiving is where it's at. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. That's the real joint.
Right. So I think we're going to be doing another Drinks with Friendsgiving.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be tradition, surprising bro. That.
We're making America great again.
That's... So. Sam decided she went to rewatch Shameless.
I've never seen it. Okay. I've got it queued up, but I've never actually. I haven't pulled the trigger yet.
It's so ridiculous, and I've seen it, but I forgot how ridiculous it was. Like there's for the one kid, Carl, like the youngest, but well, not the baby, but like the youngest boy. He's a delinquent. Like kid's fucking psycho. At least that's where he starts off. So he's about getting a gun. They're in Southside Chicago, like rough neighborhood. And there's like a high speed chase going down his alley. Some dude like dumps. The cook and Carl happens to be standing out there and like picks him up after he's been asking for a gun for like 3 episodes. So he goes and he shoots the gun and he's like, "Oh, I shot a goose. It's like a Thanksgiving episode. Like, we're gonna have this meal." And it's like, "Carl, that's not a goose, that's a bald eagle."
So I can like pluck and clean this ball.
I'll let you watch the show.
That's amazing.
But yeah, that's I forgot all about that. And you saying "Make America Great Again," like they made a reference to that.
That's a bald eagle.
Yeah,
and it's, I would eat some eagle meat.
I'll try for
Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
I know it's like
that's the most
super illegal,
the real, but like most American thing you could do.
I feel like eating it while it's illegal is the most American thing I could
do. That's right. Like,
yeah. Especially this is for all my native brethren. Like, yo, this is what they...
Y'all chose just a bird.
Yeah. Right. I thank you for its sacrifice, right. And I keep it pushing.
Like, well, yeah, why are you trying to rob me of the experience of eating this, like, glorious meat?
Right? God put this here for us to hunt and live off of the bounty of the land. Oh, my
God.
So, yeah, you should definitely check that out. I also want you to check out... I don't even know why I'm talking to you about this on the show, but I feel like it's worth a conversation.
Okay.
I want you to watch Bill Burr's Netflix special, his newest one.
Yeah.
Because in my opinion, he was much more problematic than Dave Chappelle, but he hasn't caught nearly the flag Dave Chappelle has, and I think it's an important conversation to have. So I think you should check that out. And then we should rewatch Sticks and Stones. And then we should talk about that on one of these episodes.
Next week?
Sure, let's do it.
Okay, cool. And,
yeah, because I think it's a conversation. And don't get me wrong, Bill Burr's stand-up is actually really hilarious. But I personally feel like he's more
front. And maybe, you know, actually, shout out to Dan Umthen, who just finished his Beast fourth Village. Beast Village?
Yeah.
Fourth, fifth?
I think it was the fourth.
Yeah, yeah. Crushing it out here. Maybe we can get Dan to come and chop it up about Bill Burr and stand-up comedy just in general.
We should try and get Dan and Dante.
Dan and Dante.
Ooh. And let's just see how it goes. All right. I mean, all we can do is extend the invitation and see what happens.
Yeah, let's go ahead and see if we can make it happen.
We're planting seeds.
So tune in next week and see if we can accomplish our goals.
Yeah. That's where we're going out here. Let's see, what else did you ask? Oh, Killer Queen drops on the Switch on the 20th, so you might have to come through. Oh. Or not the 20th, next Friday.
Yeah.
It drops. So our friends over at News Repro was talking about putting together a stream doing that, so maybe you have to come through.
Oh, shit. And, I actually really enjoyed that game.
Right?
So, I didn't realize how much I would get into it, but right? I got into it, and I'm like...
Jesus, I need to play this. Right, it's like, about to be available at my house.
I will play this for 9 hours at a time. Like,
yeah.
Don't test me.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those ones that's supposed to be a pickup and play, and I lose myself in.
Yeah. So, and now it's Wednesday.
Right. I said I wasn't really going to play video games during Inktober, but I might have to make an exception for Killer Queen.
I think it's worth it.
We'll see how many sketches I get done.
Yeah.
We'll see.
So once again, of course, this podcast is brought to you by our friends at Android DSM, Power Up,
and Susie Sweet Treats, Seek Ingredients, Love,
Not Cocaine.
Hit her up too. Holiday season coming, so if you need those holiday pies, Christmas cheesecakes, cookie platters for your Christmas gatherings and whatnot, get those orders in now because she will be a busy lady. And then catch us next week, same black time,
same black channel.
All right, y'all. Peace.